This morning's title is Confronting Excuses. Do you know the first human excuse? You guys heard, know this, it's in the Bible.
Genesis.
In fact, goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, and Adam and Eve came up with this. The woman you give me to be with. Eve, who could not resist, she said, the serpent deceived me. They're all pointing fingers to who? God. Not really my fault, but the serpent you create deceived me. The woman you gave me to be with. Without her, I would be just fine. It's been said, excuse is a skin of reason that stuck with a lie. That sounds about right. Honest man George Washington once said, it is better to offer no excuse than bad one. We find the same kind of lame excuses by the religious rulers of Israel to Jesus. But they went against the wrong person. Because this person knew everything, including what they were thinking. And Jesus confronts them. May we never come up with any excuse to the Lord. When the Lord tells us to do, we do. Let's try very hard. Instead, I know, we all say, well, I'm not perfect, right? But we can strive for excellence in obedience. Do you know where it stops? Thank you. Your thought. That's why the Bible also says, take a captive of every thought and make it obedience to Christ Jesus. When you control your thought, you control your action. When you control your action, guess what? You will be able to control your consequences. If you end up in an action with the police officers and the criminals, one account, I was doing driving along.
This deputy frisked him, and there's a pot came out, marijuana. Is this yours? He said, no, it's not mine. Is that your pants? No, it's not mine. It's like, really? Do you think that's a good enough excuse? People come up with a really lame excuse. Forget the cop. To God, who knows all things. How can we come up with an excuse? But we do. We try not to do that kind of thing. That's why you are here. That's why we are learning the Word of God, so we can be more like His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, indeed, we are not perfect. We've never been perfect. We don't even pretend to be perfect. So we bless you, Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to your abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. An inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away. And you even reserved heaven for us who are kept by the power of God through the faith in Jesus Christ. Father, we are asking you, continue to speak us, that we may know your heart through your written word, through our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the living word. Father, we don't want to be like ourselves continuously, but rather we want to be like your Son. Instead of coming up with an excuse, simply surrender ourselves to you and obedient to you. Father, we know that we cannot understand your word unless the Holy Spirit speaks to us, unless you anoint our hearts. And we cannot hear your word unless you anoint the one who speaks, because man's opinion doesn't mean anything to us. Anoint the one who speaks and forgive his sin. We pray for President Trump and our troops, especially one in the harm's way. And we are asking you to protect the police officers and deputies and federal agents, all those who are upholding and enforcing the law. We are also lifting up the firefighters and EMT and paramedics. Father, you protect them as they protect us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 22 of Book of Matthew, please. Chapter 22, Book of Matthew. Verse 1. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again in parables, by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son, and sent out his servant to call those who are invited to the wedding. And they were not willing to come. Verse 4, again he sent out other servants, saying, Tell those who are invited, See, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and fattened cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. But I want you to put the number one before they made the light of it and went their ways. And number two, one to his own farm. Number three, another to his business. Verse 6. And rest seized his servant that treated them spitefully and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious. He sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burnt up their cities. Then he said to his servants, The wedding is ready, but those who are invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite them to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, and both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. Stop there, please. This parable is rather simple to interpret. As you read, we pretty much got the meaning of it, right? Certain king is God the Father, and his son is God the Son, Jesus Christ. And marriage is the marriage supper of the Lamb that mentioned in the book of Revelation. And his servants represent the Old Testament prophets. And the people who were invited originally were the Israeli people. And outcast ones, the Gentiles. They are the ones who were invited later. When the first invitation went out, everybody agreed that, okay, we'll be there. Second invitation went out, and third invitation went out. Now they were all coming up with an excuse why they cannot come. This kind of thing, by the way, just a side note, no, extra tip, no extra charge. RSVP, you guys know that word, right? RSVP. When you receive RSVP and you choose not to go, you still make a let them know. You said, no, I cannot come. It's regret, something. RSVP means you need to let them know. Not only when you going. So, next time when somebody sends you RSVP, say, no, you cannot go, if you cannot go. Okay, back to the story. It was more of when they refused, let me go back. First they said yes, and then they refused not to go. It was more of an insult to the king. Did you get that? Insult to the king. These are the three same excuses that people still use why they wouldn't come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I asked you to underline those three verses. Number one, they made a light of it and went their ways. People think that they are righteous and good enough, righteous and good enough to get to heaven without accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. And they don't take God's warning in the Bible seriously. Do you know why we lift our Bible at the beginning? The absolute truth and final authority? So that we don't argue with this book and what it says? When we start to argue with this book, when we start to making our own opinion over this book, we are insulting God. Second thing I ask you to underline is one to his own farm. People think that their wealth is more valuable than their eternal destiny. So what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Another to his business. People think that their career is more important than their eternal lives. What a tragedy that is. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen is eternal. Did you understand? What we see here will be burned up. I know Jehovah's Witness will say, well, we'll make a flower garden and we'll make the paradise out of this world. Surprise! According to 1 Peter, this joint will be burned up. All the things that you cherish will be burned up. It doesn't matter how much you have. It doesn't matter what kinds of financial portfolio you have. It will be gone. The marketing agency, MediaKix, calculated the average time spent per day on YouTube. Some of you guys are on the YouTube a lot. Average 40 minutes a day. Facebook, 35 minutes a day. Snapchat, I don't even know what that is, 25 minutes. Instagram, 15 minutes. Twitter, 1 minute. So they calculate all of that in total. How much time do they spend in a day, and then plus week and month and year and in lifetime? Get this. 5 years, 4 months. 5 years, 4 months. Social media trend only behind watching TV, which is 7 years and 8 months. It's well ahead of eating, drinking, grooming, socializing, even doing laundries. Let me say this. As this statistics mentioned, more and more people spend their limited lifetime. I know some of you think that you have an unlimited lifetime. If you think that you, I have a surprise for you. They spend the time in the things that doesn't mean anything in the scope of eternity, while they don't even give a moment of time for the things that would change their eternal destination or reward in heaven. Listen. Jesus is looking for a man and woman who would follow him through thick and thin, not just fair weather followers. Keep your finger in Matthew, go to 2 Chronicles chapter 16, one of my favorite verses. How many favorite verses do I have? A lot. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. If you don't know this verse, read it, enjoy it, and put it in your heart. For the eyes of the Lord runs to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Is your heart loyal to God? I hope so. His eyes on you if your heart is loyal to him, if you follow him, if you honor him. It is the Holy Spirit's job to bring people to Christ. We cannot come to Christ without the Holy Spirit. Whenever people reject the invitation of the Holy Spirit, they are rejecting the very invitation of God, and someday it will literally haunt them. Go down to verse 11 of chapter 22 in Matthew again, please. Now we see the excuse of good enough. Excuse of good enough. But when the king came in to see the guest, he saw a man there who did not have on the wedding garment. So he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" And underline what he said, what he did. He was speechless. And note, by the way, note that there was a man without wedding garment as well. Verse 13. Then king said to the servant, "Bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Underline verse 14, please. For many are called, but few are chosen. For many are called, but few are chosen. Stop there, please. The man considered his own garment good enough to be in the wedding ceremony. And you're wondering, do they have to wear a particular wedding garment? I guess that was an ancient Israeli custom. When you go to the place and they hand you the wedding garment, that was the case. You must wear what they have to be in the wedding. Like the majority of people around the world, he thought that there is more than one way to get to heaven. Have you ever heard that conversation and somebody telling you, oh, there is more than one way to get to heaven. All roads lead to the same God, said by the infamous Reverend Oprah Winfrey. Does it? You ask Muslim, does all roads lead to the paradise, same paradise where the Allah is? They will lob your head off from your shoulder. Same thing with the Jehovah's Witness, same thing with the Mormons. Exclusiveness of salvation is nothing unusual for this Christianity. It's not exclusive, it's not alone for Christianity. All religions make their religions exclusive. When you reject that, you're rejecting the very hand of God. And this man was finding out that he was dead wrong. And notice that he could not come up with an excuse. He was literally speechless. Guess what that is? That would be like an unbeliever in front of the great white throne judgment that mentioned in the end of the Revelation. There won't be a defense attorney, because the defense attorney will be busy with his own problem. There are many people who are called themselves Christians in America. But not everyone who claims to be Christian will go to heaven, because their hearts are not for Jesus. Indeed, many people are called to be Christians, but only few are chosen because they refuse to follow Him. Listen carefully, please. Heaven is not for good people. Rather, heaven is for the forgiven people. We are not going to heaven because we are American. We are not going to heaven because we come to church on Sunday morning. We don't go to heaven because we've been baptized some time ago. Nothing to do with anything like that. Only through Jesus Christ. Verse 15, please. Now we see the excuse from the political side. Then Pharisee went and plotted how they might entangle him in his talk. They still haven't got it yet. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true." Then why go against him, right? "Teach the way of God in truth, and nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesars or not?" But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, "Why do you test me, you hypocrite? Show me the tax money." So they brought the denarius. And he said to them, "Whose image and inscription is this?" They said to him, "Caesar's." He said to them, "Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this word, they marveled and left him and went their way. Stop there again. Here are the Pharisees and Herodians, two arch enemies. Herodians, Pharisees, Sadducees, they cannot stand each other. All of a sudden, they are uniting together because one unified a single hatred against Jesus Christ. Jesus' dilemma in this question is simple. If Jesus say, "Pay the tax," he is becoming the enemy of the Jewish people. And if he said, "Don't pay the tax," now he's becoming the enemy of the Rome. So they thought, we got him. We got him good. He cannot move. Again, with his wise answer, Jesus showed that he is completely in control. He rebuked the wickedness and hypocrisy of the Pharisees and Herodians. He affirmed that the government makes legitimate requests of us. We are responsible to God in all things, but we must be obedient to the powers that is be in things civil and national. Yes, it means we need to pay taxes. Bummer, right? I don't like to pay taxes, but that is something we need to do. Remember at the beginning of the President Trump's administration, many people protest and they had a sign, not my president, right? Hashtag not my president. I don't even know how the hashtag works. Anyway, they had these signs. Somebody came up with a picture of those who are protesting and with President Trump, and there's a bubble. It said, not our citizen. Guess what? If you are a citizen of the United States, you are obligated to pay your share, your tax. I've seen some Christian people, they said everything belongs to God, so we don't have to pay tax. And they teach each other how to evade the tax. I thought, go for it. You will end up in the Kansas federal penitentiary. Don't try to do that. Now, at verse 23, we see the theological intellectual excuse. The same day, Sadducees, who say that there is no resurrection, came to him and answered him, saying, Teacher, Moses said that if a man dies having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now, there were with us seven brothers. First died after he had married, and having no offspring, left his wife to his brother. Likewise, the second also, and third even to the seventh. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of the seven will she be? For they all had her. Jesus answered and said to them, You are mistaken, not knowing the scripture nor the power of God. Let me say one more time. Not knowing the scripture nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven. But concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what is spoken to you by God, saying, I am, underline, highlight, circle, point, arrow there. A.M. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. When the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his teaching. Since the seven brothers were dropping like flies, somebody should have checked what kind of food or coffee she's making, right? Something ain't right. The Sadducees were the ancient equivalent to liberal theologians. They only accept the five books, first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, known as Torah or Pentateuch. And they don't believe resurrection. They don't believe anything the afterlife. So they asked him hypothetical question, hoping to show the idea of resurrection is nothing more than nonsense. Based on the law of marriage described in Deuteronomy 6, 22:5-10, if a married man died before to have an offspring, son or daughter, the brother should marry the widow and they so that they can have a child, and that child belongs to the dead man's name. Why? I don't know. Ask God. I guess it is to keep the lineage. Jesus did not say, I was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Rather, he was quoting from the Exodus 3:6, I am the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Jesus was telling them these ancestral spirits are alive, and God is their God in heaven as well as on earth. And you may say, well, how can he be M for those people who are dead long ago? Because we are limited by time. If you don't believe that you are not limited by time, just look at yourself on the mirror. There's more line each morning. But God is above time zone. To him, our past is, our present is, still is, our idea of a will be is, still is. Jesus replies a standard Sadducees, most highly educated men of that day. We can be highly educated and still ignorant, and most important thing in the world, God's word and God's power. Let me give you a good example. Stephen Hawking. Some of you guys know him. Quadriplegic guy. He is a quantum physicist. I don't even know what the quantum physics is, the quantum theory is. It sounds awesome. It's way above my head, right? But this guy denied the existence of God. He is probably one of the most intelligent person on the face of the earth, but yet he is an ignorant person when it comes to spirituality. By the way, the latest statement he made is kind of funny. He said, the earth is dying, we need to get out of here. Atta. Good for you, go for it. Now we see the excuse from the judicial side in verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and then one of them, a lawyer, yes, of course a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment, great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Verse 38, this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Just side note. Scribes determined that there are 613 commandments in the Old Testament, and 248 positive injunction and 365 negative prohibition, hoping that Jesus' answer would spark the controversy. They always argue that which one is the greatest commandment. Out of 613, there's a lot of options to choose from. But Jesus went right into the heart of the law. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and your life. That's from Deuteronomy 6:5. Orthodox Jews wrote it out and put it in their mezuzah. It's a small elongated box and fastened on the door, the front door post. By the way, if you notice, it's angled. They didn't hang straight up and down. Why angle? I don't know. If you know, tell me. And they also wrote it out and put it in the little box, leather box, square box, and put it in front of their forehead, as you can see on that guy's head. And you can, if you can see the guys way in the back on the left side, you can see another man with a leather box. It's known as a phylloc tree. What's the idea of this? The Lord said, put my word before you all the time. So that's their obedience. They have outward obedience, but in their heart, there's no obedience. What good is it for us to go through the ritual of what we are supposed to do, but heart is not in it? Go back to Jesus said, love the Lord your God starting with what? Heart, not life, heart, mind, and soul and mind. If your heart is not in it, what good is it? Ladies, wives, Are you touched when your husband says, yeah, I love you, when it doesn't mean anything? If heart is not in it, what good is it? Same thing with God. If you say you love God, and Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandment. Outward obedience, but inside their heart was a different story. There has been much confusion about what it means to love our neighbor as ourselves. Some self-esteemed people, the psychologists, this doesn't mean that we must love ourselves before we can love anyone else. It means that the same way we take care of ourselves and concerned about our own interests, we should take care of others and be concerned about others. Jesus painted a picture here. The old law and the prophet hangs on the principle of the loving God and loving our neighbors. As I look to the Lord and love Him and serve Him, and as I look to my people on the right and people on the left, now I form the picture of what? Picture of what? Cross. Who hung on the cross? Jesus. Jesus followed His Father with all of His heart and mind and soul, and He loved His people, including the enemies, loved enough to die for them. Now Jesus confronting the excuse in verse 41, please. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? They said to Him, the son of David. Is that the right answer? Come on, stop. I'm asking you. Is it the son of David? Is that the right answer? Yes, it is right, the answer. But here, verse 43. Jesus said to them, how does then the David in the Spirit called Him Lord, saying, the Lord has said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies of your footstool. Jesus asking continually, if David then called Him Lord, how is He His son? And no one was able to answer Him a word. No, from that day on, did anyone dare question Him any more. This time Jesus asked them a question regarding the identity of the Messiah from the Psalm 110:1. The Pharisees identified the son of Jesus as the Messiah as the son of David, which is the right way to do it. In the Jewish culture, no one called their offspring Lord. And we don't call our children Lord either. I know some parents practically worship their children. That's not the right way. By the way, I've seen some parents trying so hard to be the friend of their children. You're doing parenting wrong. Before you become a friend, you must be a parent. Then you can be a friend. So truly, the David is referring to someone greater than himself. If Christ, the Messiah, is merely the son of David, as they supposed, David would never have called Him Lord. The scribes and Pharisees who pride themselves on their deep knowledge of Scripture were stumped. Using the written word, Jesus Christ, who is the living word, had beaten them at their own game. Pharisees, scribes, and Sadducees tried to corner Jesus so that they could come up with an excuses of the reason why they would not listen to Him. Jesus systematically eliminated their lame excuses. I don't know where you are spiritually. I don't know if you're all of you are born again Christian. I do know that many of them you are. I don't know all of you are. If you never received Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you need to do it here, do it right after the service. Accept Christ into your heart. You can make all the excuses that we listed, we visited. That excuse will not save you to heaven. There's the only one way to get to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man come unto the Father but through me. Three applications. Number one, remember that whenever we try to come up with an excuse why we didn't obey what the Bible tells us to do, we must realize that we are in sin. Can you say that with me? We are in sin. Don't make it worse by blaring our excuse to the Lord and to others. Stop there and repent. Second application. The Lord knows that we cannot be perfect. He knew that he was getting the flawed people. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't strive for excellence in our obedience to Him. Some people say, "What's the use? I'm not perfect, so why bother to obedient to Him? You're just making the matter worse." Third application. The Bible verse should not be in our head only. It should be in our lives. Instead of being here, come down a foot here. And your Bible verse should come alive in your life. Amen?